KSIV now presents Encounter, a public service program of Bot Radio Network, dedicated to keeping you informed about the issues that affect your life. Now, here's today's Encounter broadcast.
How does today's education of our young people differ from 50 or 60 years ago? We're going to talk about that topic on this edition of Encounter. I'm Judy Redlich. You may see some surprises. My guest is Dr. Almeda Larwell, and she is from the Larwell Academy in Edwardsville, Illinois. Welcome, Dr. Larwell.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here with you today.
Boy, you have lived a long and an incredible life. God has blessed you with so many opportunities. Maybe you could give our listeners a little bit of an idea of where you've come from, and we'll go from there.
Well, thank you. I studied concert piano as an undergraduate, but as a requirement for my music, I was required to take Spanish and Italian. And when I took those classes, my teachers were very convincing to me that I had a possible professional career in foreign languages. I went from there after 3 years with my piano work and was granted a teaching assistantship at University of Illinois in Spanish and Italian. So I now have 47 years behind me in higher education in Spanish, Italian, and English as a second language. And along the way, as my husband and I had children, I decided that God had called me to revolutionize U.S. education. So I began my own school, pre-kindergarten through 12th grade, and have now had that for 33 years.
And that's the Larwell Academy.
That is correct.
Tell us about the academy. Where is it, and what kind of unique things does it offer?
We also call ourselves Larwell Christian Academy. And to my knowledge, we have a curriculum that is unique to the United States. I've traveled extensively through the continental states and abroad quite a bit, and have found that within the United States, there's a great lack of foundational courses. Mm-hmm. So our curriculum is built where every child from pre-kindergarten through 12th grade takes Spanish, Italian, French, German, Chinese, and a little bit of Braille. Also, every child from that age on studies world history, American history, world geography. Every child has physics, chemistry, biology, earth science, engineering, robotics. We are introducing coding into our curriculum. And also, we individually instruct in 8 to 10 basic skills the entire school from 6 on, from the ages of 6 on, is required to take composition. And by the time we've had children who are reading basically at the 6th grade level. So we have a young man who has been in a particular class now for 3 years that are 2 college classes. I teach 272 condensed literary classics through world history. And next year, he will add on top of that 80 world philosophers. So by the time we've had children 4 to 6 years, most of them are testing 4 to 6 years beyond chronological age.
Wow, that's amazing. The mind is so flexible, isn't it?
Absolutely, and especially at a younger age.
Well, and it's what you put into it that makes a difference on how it will expand to the good or to the bad.
Absolutely.
So, Dr. Larwell, as you think about education, what tips do you give parents on helping their children make the best use out of their minds?
Well, it will be helpful if those children are in an environment that encourages them to use the best of their mind. So they have to be somewhere where they're challenged early on. As we have found in many of our research books to which we make reference now, and Dumbing Down, of dumbing down our kids, our inside American education, or dumbing down America, we're finding that more and more children are turned off by a traditional education because they're not challenged enough. Mm-hmm. And in a few of these books also will make reference to we've left our gifted children behind. But for me, every child is a gifted child because people will ask us because our curriculum is so demanding, well, do you only take gifted children in your school? Do they have to be gifted when they come? And I tell them, if they're not gifted when they come, I guarantee you they will be by the time they graduate with us, because we do everything we possibly can through kinesthetic, oral, anything that we can to encourage them in their gifted area. But at the same time, alongside of that, we work so that they don't have any deficiencies.
Hmm. So what about kids with special needs? Do you have any of those as a part
absolutely.
Of Farwell?
Yes, absolutely we do.
Can you share some stories about
Surely.
Their progress?
Early on, we had a young man going into eighth grade who was only scoring actually second to fourth grade in his three basic skills, math, English, and reading. And after we had him 5.5 years, he gained more than 7 years in reading, well over 7 years in math, 5 to 7 years in math, actually, and another 5 years in English.
Wow, amazing.
It is amazing. So this young man who most likely would have dropped out of high school or at least been in high school until he was 19 or 20 at the rate he was going, testing so low when he came to us, wound up graduating 1 year early and secured a job with a large company here in St. Louis doing lawn care for $30,000 a year,
wow,
which was more than what I was making at the school. So, and then he went on to become a fire science instructor for a local community college. Yes.
Wow.
So those are heartwarming stories for us
those
when we make those differences in children's lives.
Heartwarming stories. So, Dr. Larwell, as you're thinking about parents who might have children with disabilities, what tips do you give them concerning their children?
Don't let someone tell you your child will never make it, will never be able to achieve at a certain level. Do everything you possibly can to find the right environment that will give the right curriculum to your child so that he or she can achieve at a great level. My concern for many parents, whether or not the child is gifted or learning disabled or average, is that our society in the United States now and for several decades now has professed great pleasure and esteem at scoring 70% on standardized tests. Well, 70% is mediocre. So we're applauding children for having only mediocre skills, which means when they graduate, whether from high school or college, it is likely that they are going to have a mediocre life and a mediocre income. And hopefully parents want more than that for their children.
Why do teachers let that happen today?
Teachers have been taught that they're not supposed to frustrate a child, or there's so much labeling that goes on with ADD and ADHD. It's easier to label the child and say, oh, he or she can take this pill to fix that and get through class without causing a commotion, as opposed to what is it we're not doing to reach this child and excite him or her about education.
What are some tips that you could give teachers on how to excite kids about education, to animate in their minds the value of education?
Well, for us at the Academy, one of the very strong factors for us is that we always work as a team, so that the teacher who is teaching subjects like math or science or art or composition, we all work together through basically a world history approach so that all of us move in sync with one another in that particular area. And every teacher feels as if what he or she has to offer is a very critical component of our working together. So we don't compete for who has the most important curriculum. We work together as a team to give hands-on scientific experiments or activities on a daily basis to reinforce the reading that the children need to do. We tried to write our compositions according to what they've studied in world history to tie that together. We try to have art projects that tie together world history or traditional holidays that we have in the United States. So that and we really, really focus on political astuteness so that children understand, will they know if they lose an amendment along the way, because most children anymore don't even know what the amendments are. So how
That's
can
true.
They contribute to society and to legislature if they don't know what's supposed to be there?
Well, and some of the young adults have a hard time even thinking about registering to vote because they feel so apathetic and so far away from the system.
Right.
Dr. Lawwell, will you join me after this break and we can talk a little bit more about education?
Absolutely. I would be happy to do that.
Great. But first of all, how can they get more information about Lawwell Christian Academy?
They can go to our website, which is Lawwell Christian Academy, or LawwellAcademy.org, basically, is where they're going to find it, doing business as Lawwell Christian Academy. And they can also call us at area code 618-288-8024 for a free day for their child to see whether or not the child works in our environment and whether or not we can work with the child in our environment. We want the best.
We will be right back. This is Encounter. I'm Judy Rutledge. I'm Judy Rutledge, host on Tuesday of Encounter. Join me 1:30 p.m. on KSIV AM 1320 in the greater St. Louis area. And if you missed the show on KSIV, you can tune it in on my internet by going to judyrutledge.com/radio and checking the archives. According to the U.S. Commission on Education, A Nation at Risk, the imperative for educational reform, this is what the panel reported. If an unfriendly foreign power had attempted to impose on America the mediocre educational performance that exists today, we might well have viewed it as an act of war. Almeda Lawwell is my guest. What do you think about that statement? Is that a pretty true statement of today?
That statement was true back in the 1980s, and it has only become reinforced as we've passed through decades more of analyses of the educational system in the United States. And you will see with book after book after book that instead of this imperative helping to revolutionize U.S. education, it has indeed become worse if measured by standardized test scores can be an indicator, and also by some simple questions asked out on the street of high school and college graduates. Sometimes it's a little alarming to hear their responses as to how many stripes on the U.S. flag, how many stars, who was the first president. If they can't answer these questions as high school graduates or college graduates, it's a little scary to me.
So in 1980, this was already happening. Why haven't people stepped forward to this day, 40 years later, to bring education back to where it should be and where it was 50 or 60 years ago?
People continue to try to bring new concepts to the table, and they think they are solving the problem. We had No Child Left Behind after most of these reports came out. And although the concept was a very honorable one, the implementation caused more chaos than it did resolving the issue.
Now, why was that?
Because once again, the process pulled down the educational standards. Instead of pulling everybody up and those children who were behind, pulling them up to higher standards, standards were relieved and reduced so that everybody could feel good about themselves and feel as if they achieved.
Ah, so they took the the down approach rather than the up approach.
Absolutely. And you know, we can't do that in business and industry.
No.
We can't compete globally if we do that in business and industry. Why would we think we can compete globally if we do it in education?
And I know the Dumbing Down books were written by a whistleblower who tried all she could to change the educational system.
Yes, what we know from past experiences with big business, with Congress, it doesn't matter. A whistleblower doesn't make a great deal of progress more often than not, other than bringing down a lot of chaos upon the whistleblower. But that doesn't mean we shouldn't fight to continue to blow the whistle as we understand something negative happening. And as we look at business and industry and electronics, we call it disruptive technology. We need to have disruptive education to the extent that we forget about the norm and we place ourselves at a much higher standard.
Recently, Common Core was introduced. What do you think about that program?
I am not a fan of Common Core from what I have learned so far, because once again, it seems as if it's going to have the same result as No Child Left Behind, that it's going to bring standards down to the extent where more students feel good about themselves, but less is being challenged in their life and in their educational zeal. It's not going to bring them up to where they need to be.
So we have parents here that are listening to this program. They're thinking, boy, my children are being educated today in the school system, both parochial and public. How can I make a difference with what my child learns and what his classmates learn?
It's difficult for parents to be able to outrun this because they're not focusing their professional lives on what their children should know. So more often than not, they accept from professionals a guideline as to what their children should know. But they need to use some logic in this and say, you know what? We know that children from Europe and Asia know more than just English or just their native language. How can my child compete globally in a global economic market if he or she does not have some other language, or if my child doesn't have the science or the math? So take advantage of summer programs at the universities that offer these 1 or 2 week programs in art and music and science and math, and take your child to the library constantly, monitor the time they are on their media devices, because there's so many great things to learn outside and in society as we look at how everything comes together. All of the wonderful opportunities we have in St. Louis with the Forest Park entities. And I'm a Protestant, but I tell almost anyone who comes here to St. Louis to visit, and sometimes I even find people from St. Louis have not been to the cathedral, the basilica. And I said, do you know that at one time we were able to say we had the single largest collection of Byzantine mosaics in the world? Now they have to say we have one of them. But my goodness, this is not found anywhere else in the United States. The Muni Opera, take your children to that because it's one of the last outdoor operas left in the United States. The zoo, there are great things to learn at the zoo. There are great summer programs and other activities.
And it's one of the last zoos to be free.
Free in the United States, absolutely. We have wonderful resources right here in St. Louis or in the metro area. Cahokia Mounds right on the other side of the river.
And even take your vacation within the St. Louis area. Go down Route 66, stay in those old hotels for a night. The Wayside Hotel, you know, those going down Route 66, you can stay there. And then you could go down farther on Route 66 and just sort of take that old Route 66 trail and enjoy it with your family. So what do you think it's going to take to bring the American education up to standards?
I think it's going to take a revolution. And by that, I don't mean a violent revolution. I mean people at the ground core saying, we are not going to accept this anymore. We want something to change, but they have to be prepared to offer a logical alternative. They can't just walk up and say, we want this to be better or we want this to change. They have to do some, you know, put some work in it themselves and say, okay, from our own research, we find that this could be a really great alternative. We want this to change. And they have to go to the public meetings for their educational systems and put up a little bit of a protest and say, no, we're not taking this anymore. You can't do this to our children.
What about kids in parochial schools? Are they as much affected as kids in public schools?
More often than not, parochial standards match traditional standards. So you don't have quite as much social dysfunction, perhaps, in parochial schools because they have much more control on that. The classrooms are smaller. But once you get more than 20 students in a class, this is another thing parents can say. Once you have more than 20 students in a class, how can a teacher be expected to give individual attention to 35, 40 children in a classroom? It's impossible for the teacher to do that. So the system itself sometimes defeats the teacher from accomplishing what he or she can accomplish. So you have to watch in the parochial system as well as in the traditional what subjects are being taught, how long they're being taught, what information is being taught in there. You want to know what kind of values are being taught your children.
So, Dr. Larwell, if you could sum up in two sentences what you'd like people to take away from this Encounter program today, what would that be?
People invest a multitude of money in material possessions. Invest that money in your child's education.
You can do it. We as parents need to make a difference and stand up for the right. And if you're concerned about your child's education, don't just let it slide, but speak out. How can people get more information about the Larwell Academy?
They can check our website, larwellacademy.org, or they can give us a call at 618-288-8024. And every child is welcomed to a free day with us to see whether or not he or she can function well in our system and whether we can help them as much as we need to help them.
And again, that's a K through 12th grade program.
Actually, pre-K through 12th.
Pre-K
yes.
through
13
12th
years.
In Edwardsville, Illinois. Again, Dr. Larwell, the phone number?
Area code 618-288-8024.
That's 618-288-8024 to learn more about the Larwell Academy. I'm Judy Redlick. Thank you so much for joining me, and thank you all for joining me on this edition of Encounter. If you've missed some of this program or would like to hear some of the other past Encounter shows that I've done, you can go to my website, judyredlick.com/radio. Thanks again for tuning in. See you next time.
Encounter is you and the issues, where the facts and opinions make you an informed citizen of St. Louis. Thank you for your participation. Let a friend know about this talk and issues feature of Bot Radio Network and KSIV. Then join us next time for Encounter.